This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. There's a brain drain in healthcare as doctors and nurses from the developing world are recruited by Western countries. It was documented in a study published last week in the New England Journal of Medicine. The study found that immigrants from India, the Philippines, and Nigeria account for the largest number of foreign doctors working in Britain, the United States, and Canada. As part of a series on global health, NPR's Brenda Wilson reports that the shortage is complicating the fight against AIDS and other diseases.
There is only one doctor for every 10,000 people in Kenya. In many African countries, the scarcity is even greater. Dr. Peter Ngatia, the Director of Curriculum Development and Training for the African Medical Research Foundation in Nairobi, says that part of the explanation is that in the competition for skilled health professionals, Africa is losing.
It takes $150,000 to train a doctor here in Africa. That doctor leaves after internship. Africa has lost not just $150,000, but everything that goes with it. A person should be able to do their studies here and go and work anywhere in the world. That is what globalization probably is all about. But by so doing, the weaker get weaker and the stronger get stronger.
There are only 5,000 doctors from sub-Saharan Africa practicing in the U.S. A small number for the U.S., but it represents a huge sacrifice in the developing world. Ngatia says the allure is not just the money and living conditions. He says they've been led to expect something else from the practice of medicine, because African medical schools use the curriculum of the developed world. For example,
you turn the heart inside out to know the little things about it, to know everything that you could about the cancers and things like that. Whereas here, it is the other way around. Most of the conditions that you saw were malaria, TB, diarrhea, common things.
Common things that kill millions of children in Africa and the developing world each year. Physicians in Africa cycle out in what has been called a medical carousel that never turns full circle. They may start in South Africa, then move to the United Kingdom, and on to Canada, with their sights set on the U.S. The last place on earth hardly any doctor wants to be is a small, out-of-the-way place in Africa. About 10 minutes north of Kenya's border with Tanzania, in a Maasai village on the edge of a forest of tangled green, a 30-year-old woman is lying on a cushion on the floor of an ambulance.
We have an emergency, an obstetric emergency. A mother who has been in labor since 7 a.m. yesterday, and she was brought this morning to a health facility with prolonged labor and unable to deliver.
Charles Shole, a nurse at the Intasopia Community Health Center, says she was brought there by relatives but will have to be taken to a hospital 40 kilometers away. It happens in Africa every day. A woman in labor, unable to walk and unattended by anyone who is trained to assist when complications develop. It's not unusual in such situations for a woman to be in labor for days. And what you have is one of the highest rates of maternal mortality in the world. Kenya ranks 154, near the bottom. Because there are not enough doctors, the center is run by a clinical officer. Not quite a doctor, but more than a nurse. And he isn't trained to perform a cesarean.
Sometimes you don't reach the health facility. You can assist on the road. We are asking the relatives to give us two or three people, so in case they have to add blood.
This woman is in luck. Even though she will have to ride over stretches of boulder-strewn roads and several streams through the dusty, unpaved desert of the Rift Valley to Magadi Hospital, an hour and a half drive. In all of this district, there are about four doctors for 500,000 people. Such conditions, Dr. Ngatia says, led AMREF to push to revise the curriculum in Kenya's medical schools.
Yes, we'll need doctors, but we'll not get one doctor for 10,000 people. But we can get another person, let's call him a medical assistant, somebody whom the Western people have called a pseudo-doctor or a half-doctor. They're not going to be certified by the Medical Council of UK or US, but they are for Africa.
Clinical officers are the backbone of Kenya's health system. They run most of the health centers, they have some medical training, they know anatomy, and can perform minor surgery. But they are not allowed to perform cesareans as clinical officers do in Mozambique, where study shows they are just as proficient as doctors.
Because even doctors themselves make mistakes. If the clinical officer has got the right anatomy, has got the right surgical skills, and the right attitude towards it all, then they're as good as any.
They're basically saying, you East Africans can do with less quality of healthcare or less expertise.
Dr. Festus Ilako is the director of programs at AMREF, a colleague of Ngatia's who personally finds these developments disturbing.
Me, I know if I was ill and I have a chest pain, I would see a chest physician or a cardiologist if I have to. And that's what everybody else would like to. Let's not assume that the less educated people also want mediocre care.
But Ilako also acknowledges that in the interim, Kenya's poor and rural people will probably have to depend on clinical officers and comprehensive health nurses because they have broader skills.
We know nurses can deal with 80% of the problems. But is this 20% which kills people?
At Intasopia Health Center, things returned to normal after the truck carrying the woman in labor pulled out. And normally here, four nurses and a nurse midwife are preoccupied with 80% of the illnesses, diarrhea, tuberculosis, and malaria, that are debilitating even when they don't kill.
Nani mgonjwa? Kapa. Wangu mamlete?
Yes. One feverish child after another is examined by Charity Sokoi, including this 11-year-old schoolboy who was sent to the center by his teacher, who noticed him sitting with his head on the desk.
The boy's coughing and with running nose, and the boy is complaining of severe headache. So probably it can be malaria with pneumonia.
28-year-old Sokoi is a mother herself of a 2-year-old. And though she says she is committed to her work, she also speaks with longing of advancing her career in medicine.
Yeah, this is my home, but for me, I could like to go for further study, if only I get a chance. It's only financial problem that is keeping us here.
But there's always the chance that she, like the young physician in a rural outpost in Africa, could be drawn somewhere else. Brenda Wilson, NPR News.
Tonight, global health coverage continues at 9 p.m. with RX for Survival, a television special on PBS. And you can check your local listings.